name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We're still giving away poinsettias in the back. If you want one, or if you want six, please take them. Now, from this gospel and the gospel of last week, we come to understand the chronology of the Lord calling the apostles. And it should be understood that this isn't out of the blue, this particular pericope from the Gospel of Mark. Jesus isn't just appearing there and suddenly calling Simon and Andrew, James and John. For as we saw in last week's gospel, the reality is he's already had interactions with them. And so it tells us how the Lord works with us, the principle of gradualism, that things can happen gradually and do often happen gradually with regards to the process of conversion, with regards to our cooperation with grace. And so the Lord is always inviting us to closer proximity to him, which is the only thing that can save us. And therefore, the invitation starts out on a rudimentary level. So initially, as we heard last week, Andrew and John spend time with our Lord, and then they leave and bring back their own brothers to the Lord. And they all spend time with the Christ. And now, after a passage of time, the Lord wants them to make a full commitment to him. And therefore, while they are doing their trade, their work, this is when our Lord calls them to commit fully to him. And they put all of that down and follow him. Unique, of course, to the reality of their work as apostles, the first bishops, and Peter, the first pope. And unique, of course, to the call that we receive, we who are priests. But we should not tread so lightly in thinking that this kind of call only applies to priests and religious. The Lord is very consistent, and the Lord requires work of the laity for the salvation of souls, which is too often forgotten in modern times. Too many Catholics believe and subscribe to the Protestant heretical notions of extrinsic justification, that God does all the work and we're justified by his extrinsic action on the cross, and therefore we don't have to do a blessed thing to get to heaven except just sit down and enjoy the ride. Even if I choose to kill 5,000 people, as long as I've accepted Jesus as personal Lord and Savior, I'm going to heaven because he's already forgiven my past, present, and future sins, which is not supported in any way, shape, or form by the words of Christ himself in sacred scripture. Christ himself warns that the branches that produce no fruit will be cut off the vine and cast into the fire. That means those who claim to be attached to the Christ, those who are practicing their faith, if they are producing no fruit, they will be cut off. And of course, this is the reality. They will be cut off by the Christ. They will think that they deserve to be attached to the vine, but they will not be because they produced no fruit. Or Peter himself warning that if you find the Christ and are baptized to have salvation and you go back to your sins, you're in a worse state than before you found Christ. So the Protestant heretical notions of extrinsic justification simply do not work. And unfortunately, too many Catholics have embraced it, which is why they don't believe they have a calling. Which is why so many married Catholics have co-opted the sacrament of holy matrimony and turned it into something that it was never meant to be, because as a sacrament of the church, it belongs to the church, and therefore when they stood before the altar of God, they vowed that they would live like Christ. They vowed that they would follow Ephesians chapter 5, that the husband would be like Christ on the cross and the wife would be like the church, the recipient of the sacrifice of the husband. And willful submission, not forced submission, but willful submission, not a popular notion in our hypo-egalitarian society where women have to be like men in order to be women. And in all this confusion is this notion that we're all going to heaven no matter what, so it doesn't matter. That's simply not true. So think of it. Throughout our lives, God has called us to more. And remember, as I constantly remind you, that will follows understanding. And since grace builds on nature, and your free will makes your salvation contingent upon how you act, hence the reality of God expecting works from the faithful, the more you understand our Lord and our faith, the more you'll have the will to do the right thing. But the less you understand about the faith, the less you'll have the will to do anything about it. You'll be a lax, lukewarm Catholic who literally believes that they can just wander through life aimlessly, never doing any good, or worse yet, co-opting the sacrament of holy matrimony, whose ultimate end, of course, is procreation, and then actually believe you're going to heaven without ever repenting of it, without ever doing anything to undo the damage that is done to your spouse when you live so selfishly. And they think they're going to heaven, but they are not unless they repent. And this is why it's important to remember the call, because the call is specific to the reality in which we live. It is not to be understood as a general call. God is calling us to do unique things for the salvation of souls that are actually a reflection of where we are, not some lofty notion of this is the way I need to be, which of course is applicable. But this is the way I need to be, the lofty notions established by the teachings of the apostles, sacred scripture. But it's applied in your life as you're living it now. So yes, we priests are called for the salvation of souls. We're called to teach, to sanctify, and to rule the faithful. Rule meaning giving you the rules, giving you the measures, giving you the understanding to live the Catholic life in its fullness. But the laity are called to do that with the world. That is to say, to make Christ known to the world. And it always begins in the world in which you live. So it is not just Peter and the Pope that are supposed to be fishers of men. Every Roman Catholic is called to be drawing men to Christ. Understand how they fished. And it used to be done up until modern times, that two boats would literally spread out and put the net in the middle, and they would row towards the shore, and they would drag the net through the water, and they would catch everything. The apostles were called to do that for the world, but the Catholic laity are called to be the net that draws people to the church, where the priests can then teach them, baptize them, and make them Catholic. But they're not going to come because we are here in the church. Converts are going to come because you are actually out there trying to convert people. They're actually trying to draw people to Christ. They actually believe what you say, that you're receiving Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, but not in a Protestant way, in a real way, intimately, most intimately, body, blood, soul, divinity, and the Blessed Sacrament. How could you settle for less for those who don't do it, or worse yet, for those who are doing it while being obstinate in their sin? Thereby, as 1 Corinthians says, passing judgment on themselves and condemning themselves to hell. Because the body of Christ itself will judge that soul that receives him unworthily. And if we love those we say we love, would we not be working towards their salvation? So think of it. The call is specific and oftentimes based on the circumstances you're in. If you have a prayer life, you know when God is calling you to be the fisher of someone in your family who has lost the faith. That how you're supposed to be a net that literally is dragging the water to bring that lost friend, that lost relative, that lost child back to the faith. And not because it simply makes you feel better. Too many parents act as though, do this for me, it'll make me happy. Go to Mass on Mother's Day, it'll make me happy. It's a nice gesture, but ultimately you're teaching the child that all their faith life is about is making you happy, and that's why we have so many children that leave the faith. No, it's about the salvation of their soul. It's about finding reasonable happiness in this life. It's about being free from the passions, therefore being free from slavery to sin, free from the darkness of the devil who creates doubt, who creates fear, who fosters passions being out of control. Each and every one of you is being called in some way, shape, or form to help a lost soul, whether it be a family member or a stranger. And each and every one of you may have that idea that you know what you're doing, just as Andrew and Simon Peter were mending the nets because the nets would catch all sorts of things including stones and seashells, and they would tear. And therefore, they would clean all that stuff out of the net and then repair where the net had been broken. In other words, they wanted to be in control. They wanted to make this conversion happen. They wanted to make things right. And the Lord mandates that Simon, Peter, and Andrew drop those nets and follow him. Drop their idea of how they're going to convert souls to Christ and do what Christ himself does, thereby relying solely upon the Christ. It is the Holy Spirit that calls souls to repentance, not you, not me. It is the grace of Christ that allows a soul to know forgiveness once they seek mercy through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, not you, not me. It is God the Father who lifts the sin off the soul with the words of absolution through the power of Christ our Lord in the Holy Spirit, which, of course, that's one of the things I do in the sacrament of penance. So therefore, it's about letting go of our understanding. In fact, letting go of ourselves and thinking that I want the soul to go to heaven because it'll make me happy. Again, that's selfish. God resists the proud. Pride is self-love. You should want souls to go to heaven for their own good, not because you're afraid of spending eternity without them. Because if you are, guess what? You're not going to heaven either. Because the person you're worried about is more important to you than the beatific vision. You won't make it either, unfortunately. And it's even worse if you're thinking you don't want to go to heaven because your dog Fido is not going either. Good luck with that. But consider the reality, how we often think that it's up to us to fix things. It's up to us to make it right. God resists the proud, which is why we often get in the way of the process of conversion. We often get in the way of the process of allowing a soul to return to Christ, even if that soul has embraced the worst possible kinds of sins. If you are truly practicing what you've been given by virtue of the sacrament of baptism, restored to you through the sacrament of penance, should you have fallen into mortal sin, faith, hope, and charity, the theological virtues, then you always have faith that Christ can convert a loved one. You always have hope that it can be done. And you always have charity towards that loved one, which, yes, indeed, mandates that you speak the truth, but you do it in such a way that helps them understand, not castigates or condemns. But more often than not, they are as confused and as lost as we think they're not. And they're often crying out for help by virtue of doing the sin, be they misguided, because after all, the world is indeed trying to lead young people to as much sin as possible. And some young people don't have the proper guidance, or they've lost their connections to their parents, which makes it impossible for them to actually see their way through. They need someone to rescue them. They need someone to call them back. They need someone to be like the Christ who deliberately reached out and touched the leper in order to cleanse him from his leprosy, to cleanse him from his sin. And only Christ can do that. And only we priests of the church can do that. Your job is to get them here. Your job is to get them so that they can receive the graces. Your job is to be the voice of the Holy Spirit calling them to repentance, not by condoning their sins, but by appropriately admonishing the sinner. Not admonishing them because you're disappointed because they didn't do what you wanted to do, or you're afraid you're going to be in heaven and they're going to be in hell and you can't imagine being in heaven without them. Balderdash. Think of them before you think of yourself. And think of the reality of what is truly good for them. That's why good parents raise their children to be virtuous, because they know that virtue itself is reward. And they know that once a child is living virtuously, then the child recognizes the grace that God sends more readily. This is a dynamic of grace. So it's time that we recognize that each and every one of us has been called in some way, shape, or form, especially you as the laity, to influence someone's life. It may not be a family member, it may be a friend, it may be a co-worker, or it may be a stranger that you do not even know, but by virtue of living your Catholic life well, you will be the instrument that God uses to call that soul to the faith, or more probable, given the statistics, call a lapsed Catholic back to the faith. But you have to put down your net. You have to put down your own instruments. You have to put down your own ideas. You have to put down your own self-proclaimed expertise. And you have to be humble enough to let God be the one that uses you as the instrument. Just as a good surgeon uses a scalpel, the scalpel's not going to tell the surgeon what he needs to do. And oftentimes we're the ones in our prayers telling God what he needs to do. Why not be his instruments? He who knows the soul of the loved one, of the stranger, of the friend, the relative, the coworker, far better than we do. So be mindful of the vox dei, the voice of God, the voice of Christ calling us to be his instruments for the salvation of souls. Every lay Catholic is called to do that. That was the very crux of the Second Vatican Council that was too readily ignored, and the faithful rushed the sanctuary trying to take it over and be priests, which is why the world has gone to complete disarray, because the Catholic faithful were no longer out there in the world. They were doing everything in here. No, you're called to be out in the world. You're called to be giving witness to Christ there. You're called to be Christ's instruments. You are the nets that we priests are holding that are supposed to be bringing souls into the world. But the only way those nets are working well is if the nets are being held according to the mind and plan of Christ, who told the apostles to throw the nets over the right side of the boat. And then you're tied to grace, and you're tied in humility, and you're tied to the reality of the salvation of souls, and you're tied into faith, hope, and charity, and you actually believe that Christ has conquered the world and has conquered sin, and you don't want your loved one, your friend, your relative, or family member to be on the wrong side of things when judgment comes. But the only way this is going to work is if you literally get over yourself and start doing the work of Christ instead of the work you think that ought to be done. Unless you abandon the net, drop your own sense of expertise, drop your own ideas, drop your own convictions, drop everything and follow the Christ, who is the only one who can save. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
sing a hymn.